Worse, I feel like I am on the edge of shutting down. It's as though, spoken aloud, the word accident is a switch, and it's making everything inside me go black. Is that why I avoid it with mother and father? I struggle to focus. Find your way. Make it your business. What kind
of accident?
Yes, that.
A car accident.
A car accident? Why did I think it was something else? Something more terrible. There are thousands of car accidents every day. It's practically common. A car accident. I can almost say it out loud, except I wasn't expected to survive, and I did. That is not common. Anything else?
The article was more about your dad. Anything he does is news, and he was taking a leave of absence from his work because of your condition. Since you were underage, a lot of information was unavailable, but the Boston Globe managed to find out that the nurses thought your condition was pretty grave.
He pauses. Is he retrieving information or planning a lie? I watch his eyes carefully. His pupils dart to the left and then back to me.
That was about all the article said, Jenna.
A lie. Does he know I have no memory? What else? But curiously, he still seems to want to be my friend, so I drop it. For now.
Did I pass?
I ask.
Pass?
The Bender neighbor investigation. He smiles.
You passed the day I met you, Jenna. You gave me honesty and attitude. I liked that.
I don't remember giving you anything.
Attitude, Jenna. You walked right up to me, told me what you thought of my work. You weren't afraid of anything.
But I'm afraid of everything. Myself, mother, Lily, friends who haunt me in the night, even going to school, which is something I asked for. If I have attitude, it is hiding somewhere deep, someplace I'm afraid I may never find.
Jenna Fox, Year 12. Jenna is at the shore. A pitchfork is in her hands. Cords of hair whip from her ponytail across her face. She smiles at the camera and says,
"Come on, Mom! Put it down and help me!"
At 12 years old, I still called her Mom. When did I begin calling her Claire? I can't recall. But I feel the hardness of the word on my lips. The camera wobbles, and Claire's voice is loud.
"In a minute. Let me get a little more first."
Was this a family getaway? A day at the beach? Every aspect of Jenna's life is recorded. Father comes into view with a silver pail in hand, and he waves it in front of my face.
"All mine," he teases. "I won't go hungry. Can't say the same for you two."
Jenna laughs, this person that is me, and calls,
"He has 100 quahogs, Mom! Put that down or we'll starve!"
Jenna thrusts her pitchfork into the sand, and the camera zooms in on her sandy feet, then glides up the length of her body, like every inch is being adored. It finally stops on my face. It rests there, caressing, watching. Watching what? The enthusiasm? The ruddy cheeks? The anticipation? Watching all the breaths, heartbeats, and hopes of Matthew and Claire Fox? For a moment, I can see the weight of it in Jenna's face. My face.
"Mom!"
Jenna pleads. The camera wobbles, is turned off, and a new scene appears, focusing on a campfire.
"Stop!"
The disc obeys. A blanket. A blue one. A canteen. I think I know what comes next. A flutter runs through me. I know! I picture a scene, fully formed. Jenna, cross-legged on a blue plaid blanket on the sand. A mug of steaming hot chocolate in my hands. Hot chocolate! With 3 fat marshmallows. I loved hot chocolate. Taste! I'm shocked at my first memory of taste.
How could I forget taste? Chunk after chunk pieces together. It's like a window has been opened and memories are breezing through it. Days, weeks, 3 weeks of details collect and run through my mind, every one remembered and sharp. I pull myself closer to the screen on my desk. My head vibrates. Play, I command. The scene shifts from the campfire to me. I'm sitting on a blue blanket. I lift a mug of hot chocolate to my lips and offer a frothy, chocolate-mustached grin. Stop. I lay my head on my desk. I close my eyes and soak in what it means. I knew. A whole chunk of my life is mine again. 3 whole weeks worth. It seems like a lifetime. My eyes blink open. Mother! I call. I race from my room and down the stairs to the kitchen. Lily! No one answers. I see Mother out the window talking with a workman and pointing to panes in the greenhouse. Lily is no doubt somewhere within. I run to the pantry and search for ingredients. I pull cocoa and then sugar from the shelves. Marshmallows! Lily has marshmallows, too! I tug the bag beneath my arm and let them all tumble onto the kitchen counter. Milk! A saucepot! I remember! I pour. I stir. I make sense of a stove I have never used before. I feel full, powerful, like I haven't felt since I woke up. I'm making hot chocolate. I love hot chocolate. I search the cupboards for a mug. I pull the largest one I can find from the shelf and pour the steaming mixture in. I rip open the bag of marshmallows, and just as I plop them in, Lily and Mother come in through the back door. They stop and stare at me and the helter-skelter mess I have made. I remember! I love hot chocolate! I raise the mug like a toast to celebrate this new memory. I expect a smile, at least from Mother. But instead, as I bring the mug to my lips, her face wrinkles in horror, and she yells, No! Taste. Maybe I don't like hot chocolate. And maybe the 3 weeks' worth of memories aren't real at all. Maybe I don't remember sneaking on makeup in the bathroom at school, or completing a double pirouette and finishing as gracefully as if I really did have wings, or snuggling on the sofa with a golden dog I named Hunter. The hot chocolate was tasteless, just like my nutrients. I know you can forget a lot of things, but how can you forget taste? When the mug slipped from my fingers, Lily caught it, and hardly any spilled on the floor. School. I'm certain it's Claire's fault. Everything. Why does she whimper and cower so? Is she guilty? She cried when I dropped the mug. I wanted to hit her. It's mine, damn it, mine. But it must be hers, too, with the way she takes it on. It's like she owns every shortcoming I have. Maybe she just plain owns me. She tried to explain it away. Oh, it's temporary. Your taste will return. You shouldn't have food anyway. I spent the next hour locked in my bathroom, staring at my tongue. It's normal. Rough and pink and fleshy. What's wrong is somewhere else inside. Something that is disconnected within me. I don't trust her. She hovers, smiles, cries and controls. Too much of everything. I need to get away from her. I open the car door. She opens hers too. No, I say. I'm 17. I can do this on my own. But Jenna, I've learned how to smile in the space of just a few short weeks. I'm learning how to control, too. Claire, I say, to hold her to the seat. She shuts her door. That again, she says, looking straight ahead. She's hurt. Everything backs up inside me. School, control, distrust, and doubt. They all get shoved behind the hurt on her face. I hear words, words from long ago that were snarled inside me. I'm sorry. So sorry. Words that were trapped in my head and couldn't be said, frozen behind lips that wouldn't move, and that made me want to say them more. It's okay, darling. It's all right. Shh. Everything will be fine. Claire answering over and over again when I hadn't even spoken, looking into my eyes and reflecting all the pain she saw. I get out of the car and lean down, looking at her through the window. Claire forces a smile. Her eyes cling to me. I'm so sorry. She rolls down the window. I say a dozen more redundant things, things we've already discussed, just to keep her from talking. I will take my afternoon nutrients. I will not discuss the accident. I will be outside at 3 o'clock. I will call if I need her. I'm afraid she will have a last-minute change of heart, will control me in that way she does, and force me back into the car just by saying my name. It's like we're both fighting for control of Jenna Fox. I'll be fine, I finally say, and thankfully, like a miracle, she leaves without saying another word. I turn and face the village charter. School. It's nothing more than an abandoned real estate office. I see the defunct sign, dismantled and leaning against the side, almost obscured by overgrown weeds. Dusty blinds hang in the windows. A pale coat of yellow paint makes a faint attempt at sprucing it up. It looks more like an old farmhouse. Maybe it once was. Their emphasis is ecosystems? I went to a central academy in Boston, Claire told me, but even before she confirmed it, I knew. I remember when Kara, Locke, and I ditched a seminar. We were afraid, but we hoped we wouldn't be missed among the hundreds of students who were in our class. I don't know what a charter is like, except that it is small. Hundreds, maybe thousands of students smaller than an academy. They go to school only a few days a week. What kind of students choose to go to such a small, run-down school when they could attend an academy with everyone else? It is different in every way. But since I can't remember too much about the old ways, it shouldn't matter to me. Why did I want to go to school again? I walk up the steps and go inside. Dane.
You must be Jenna.
The room is small. I can almost spread my arms out and touch each wall. It holds a desk and a large, round woman who is smiling at me. She already knows my name. I stare at her shocking orange hair. I want to leave and flag down Claire.
It is Jenna, right?
Yes, I say. Who are you?
Mitch.
She remains seated but holds out her hand. I take it. It is puffy and hot and amazingly strong as she squeezes my fingers tight.
I'm the facilitator, which means I do about everything around here.
Except pull weeds. She hesitates for a moment and then laughs.
Oh, you're going to fit right in around here, Jenna.
She reaches behind her and hands me a small netbook.
I just need you to fill out a questionnaire and then I'll take you back with the others.
I am relieved that the questions are basic, mostly wanting to know my interests and what I see as my strengths and weaknesses.
Strengths?
Easy. I don't hold grudges. It's difficult to hold a grudge when you can't remember what they are. Weaknesses? Would forgetful be understating it? I go for something easier to interpret. Strength. History buff. Weakness? None. The last question makes me pause. Why did you choose a school with an ecosystem emphasis? I didn't. Claire did.
Finished?
Mitch asks. Close enough.
Yes.
I close the netbook and hand it back to her. I remember why I wanted to come to school. I need friends, not questions. I have enough of those already.
Fine, then. Let's go meet the other students and Dr. Ray. She's your principal teacher. Director, really. Most of the curriculum is self-guided, and each of you takes on the role of collaborator teacher, but she'll tell you all about that.
She slides the netbook into a file with four others, stands, and guides me through a doorway and down a hall that creaks under her heavy footsteps. She opens the last door, and I follow her in. It's a large room with modern furnishings. At one end are chairs and three long library desks. At the other end of the room are a half dozen